allies, and anybody that wants to learn more about the LGBT plus community. My name is Zanardi, and I'm so glad all your beautiful faces are here. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Alphabet Mafia podcast. My guest today is my friend Luke Jones, and this one was a great episode, I think. I mean, I may be a little biased because he's my friend, but I was listening to the conversation while editing it, and I was cracking up. There's a lot of good, funny parts in there. There's also a lot of valuable parts in there. We talk about our sexual awakenings and at what age is it appropriate to address your sexuality. We talk about homophobic parents and what you can do to navigate that situation. We talk about cutting off toxic friends. We talk about the politics on TikTok. We talk about gay baiting on TikTok. We kind of cover it all. Just a very fun, friendly conversation. It's a little bit of a long one, but it's super fun and enjoyable. At least from my point of view. So, Luke, if you don't know, he's another creator. He's on Instagram, he's on TikTok, he's on YouTube, he's on OnlyFans. He's doing it all, and he's my good friend. But before starting the podcast, I want to thank you all for listening and tell you about the sponsor, Manscaped. Manscaped, if you've been listening, is the number one and only men's grooming brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming. So if you shave your balls or even your asshole, because I just found out you can do that. So for you bottoms out there. And so listen, it offers the best shave for your nuts. I used to cut my balls all the time. I used to get scared that they would fall out because they would start bleeding when I was shaving them. And I thought that my nuts would fall out. But that doesn't happen anymore. I've been using them for over a month now, probably 2 months now. And I haven't had an accident. I haven't had a nick or a cut. And my balls look great. I'm not going to lie. I'm not stunting. I'm not afraid to brag. I have better balls than all of you listening, unless you also have Manscaped. So why don't you do yourself and your balls a favor? Because do you go to the gym? Do you work out? Do you take care of yourself? Do you dress well? Do you want to look good? Well, then why aren't you taking care of your balls? For listening to this podcast, you can get 20% off and free shipping using code GAYFAM20 over at manscaped.com. GAYFAM20 over at manscaped.com. Again, this is a ergonomically designed razor designed just for your balls and for your asshole, and so you won't have to worry about ever cutting your balls again. Use code GAYFAM20 over at manscaped.com. All right, enough about my balls. I know you're tired of hearing it. Let's get to the show. Lastly, this was recorded a few weeks ago, so if any topics or current events seem a little bit outdated, that was probably why, although I don't think there's anything in here that is outdated at all. All right, here's Luke. Hey, Luke, what's up?
What's up, Ryan? How's life?
Life is good. Life is good. Can't complain. The things are starting to open up. Businesses are starting to open up. So I think I might actually go to a restaurant here this weekend.
I got to go to one yesterday.
You did?
So nice. Yeah. I live right next to Ventura County, which is, you know, now opened up. Mm-hmm. And I went to this taco shop, which is right next to the ocean. Oh my gosh. It was so nice.
That's awesome. Was it weird? Like, what did it feel like?
It was like the first time that I've sat down at a restaurant in like 3 months. It was just like, it was so normal that it felt weird. Like, that's how I would describe it, if anything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that. Last time we talked, you were getting ready to graduate high school, I believe. Has that happened or is that still coming up?
It's still coming up. I graduated in June, late June or early. Late no, June. Sorry. Mid June.
Okay. Yeah. But, no plans. I saw your Insta. Oh, go ahead.
No plans there. It's still planned to be an online graduation, you know, whatever. Can't really do much about that, so.
Yeah, because I saw your Instagram, and it looked like y'all were trying to, like protest it or try to make it go to.
Oh, yeah, I guess, maybe I can talk about that here. So, yeah, a lot of people thought that I was protesting, like, social distancing or something.
Oh, no.
And, no, I was just protesting that, like, a socially distanced graduation is possible, you know, if everybody is, like, 6 feet apart, you know, or even more than that. Like, my school is huge. We can fit like 2,000 people in that stadium socially distance, it would have been fine. But, you know, a lot of people are worried that, you know, either like, oh, Luke, is it really worth it if a person dies at your graduation? And my response to that is, I mean, if you're a vulnerable person, then just don't come. But, you know,
right,
old people have their opinions, obviously. So, like, I'm not trying to kill people, I swear.
I saw on TikTok someone did, there are like graduations that are socially distanced, like there's chairs spread out, and it looked like it took up the entire field, like looked crazy, but it worked, it seemed like, and it looked like it was kind of fun.
Yeah, it really kind of made me think, because I was getting hate for my video, yet somebody was posting their socially distanced graduation, they got 100,000 likes, and I'm just like, are y'all really gonna hate on me when I when somebody else is doing like this is hypocritical. Like, come on, guys, come on.
Yeah.
social media.
Anything online, you just get extremes from both sides of the aisle, and you can never. There's no middle ground ever when it's online.
Has changed though. I don't know about you. I feel like the energy on the internet in general has just kind of gotten angrier because everybody's kind of done with being inside and they're kind of just spreading that anger, you know, towards other people. That's what I feel like.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, people are inside and they're on the internet more, so that I could see there being more arguments and just things like that. Last time we talked, you were planning on moving to LA, but then I know we chatted offline. And you mentioned that you're actually going to college now. Do you want to talk about that or what influenced that decision? Or
yeah, so I was actually planning on going to community out here because I wanted to stay in LA for TikTok. But I've decided to go over to Arizona, go to ASU because my mom lives out there, so I get in-state. And on top of that, I feel like the entertainment industry isn't going to recover for a few years. So I have a few years just to kind of get more comfortable in my own skin. You know, because I think that Hollywood and the social media industry itself is very intense, you know, and like, especially once you're big, like I can't imagine ever having the Charli D'Amelio's following, you know, that would be insane to me. I don't know what I would do with myself, you know?
Right. Yeah. Once you enter that belly of the beast, then I assume that it's life-changing and very hard to navigate around.
Yeah.
So, well, that's cool. And what are you studying at Arizona?
Biochemistry. For now, it could change. I am debating right now whether I want to change my major to like film or acting, but I don't know if I want to get a degree in that simply because a degree in filming and acting, I feel like it's kind of worthless. Like, you know, when you can get that same skill set off of just, you know, going to, what are they called? You know, going to, what would be something? What would be a good example of this? Oh gosh, I totally lost my train of thought. I would say like going, you can train to be an actor on yourself. There's like YouTube tutorials online, you know, tutorials on how to edit film and photography on YouTube. I remember I watched this one YouTuber called, the Sneeko. Do you know who Sneeko is or no?
Mm-hmm.
No. Well, he dropped out of film school. And he said that it was he basically conveyed everything that he learned in a 5-minute video from film school. So it just kind of made me double take whether or not I want to actually go there. You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, because biochem, I mean, you actually need to like learn it in a classroom and like do a lab and things like that. But you can't learn biochem on YouTube, but you can learn acting or filmmaking on YouTube. Or from doing it.
That you need to have every single element memorized. You need to know exactly what you're talking about, or else you can like, you know, I mean, biochem. It's a much harder degree to go into, and I don't even know if I want to go into it anymore, simply because I don't know if I'm gonna have the time for it because I'm gonna be doing social media on the side. But you know, we're gonna find out. I'm just gonna take life how it goes, and whatever path works for me, I'm gonna go with it. So that's my plan.
Nice. Well, that's gonna be fun, and college is definitely a fun time. I know Arizona. I've had a few friends that went to Arizona, and they loved it. It's a fun school, so I'm sure boredom will not be too much of an issue out there.
I'm just worried about the heat, man. I don't know if I can handle the heat. I'm not gonna lie. That's the one. It gets 120 out there. Like I don't know. I don't know if I can deal with that. Nor I'm kind of worried about the gay culture out there too. I don't know what it's like out there. So. That's another one of my worries.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like in college, especially in like a big college like that, in what you would call a party college, there's definitely going to be a good gay culture. It might be like a little underground per se, but there'll definitely be a lot of good, you know, fun gay people to make friends with. I know at my school at Ole Miss, which was in Mississippi, you know, thinking of Mississippi off the top of your head, you're like, there's no gay people. What the hell? Like, that's... No, it was actually really fun. There was a great group of gay people, a few gay cliques actually, like different segments of the gay community. But yeah, I mean, it was still fun, and there's people you'll meet for sure.
I don't know what the deal is gonna be for frats though. I don't know if frats letting gay kids. I don't know. I don't know if that's a.
Oh, you think about rushing.
I was debating it because I don't know. It just like sounds something fun that I want to do in college. You know, I want to have that experience, but at the same time. am I able to really? Like, you know, I know that there's gay frats, but I don't know if there's one in at ASU. You know, from my knowledge, I don't think there is.
Dude, I think you could, without knowing anything about ASU frats, I would assume that you can get in, or that you will get in, or that they'll be fine with it. Even at Ole Miss, towards the end of my career, like, I went to Ole Miss and I was closeted and I joined a frat closeted and everything. But when I was a freshman sophomore, there wasn't really any like open gay people in fraternities. But by the time I was a fourth year or a senior, like some of the younger class I had heard like were taking like openly gay people in some fraternities and stuff. So I think that, you know, it's going to depend on the fraternity for sure. I'm sure there's like a fraternity or two or three out there at ASU that is very homophobic, but I'm sure you'll find one that's accepting, and that's where you'll want to be ultimately. So
yeah, I'm not too worried about that. That's just something that, like, you know, if it happens, it happens. It'll be fun. But if it doesn't happen, you know, I'm okay with that too. So
yeah. So I posted a on Instagram. I said suggest topics to talk about, and I haven't looked too much at it, but so let me pull one up. Let me just see what we have.
I'm interested to see what topics people wrote on there.
Okay, so this person wants to know about being too young to know that you're LGBT. I guess let's talk about, like, let's get personal a little bit. When did you, I'll answer mine, but I'll ask you first. When did you, like, first remember, like, feeling different, or like did you notice, did you have like a crush as a kid, or did you like notice people on TV, and when did you first start seeing signs that, oh, maybe you're into men?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I need to think about this.
Okay, I'll go first then.
Give me some time to ponder.
Yeah, absolutely. So the topic is young kids knowing they're LGBT. When is it too young? And so I would say, like, I was always like just drawn towards attractive men, even from a very young age. I remember, like, vividly, like, Anakin Skywalker, not the kid version and not the Darth Vader version, but like the Hayden Christensen version. I loved him. And so I was like 8 years old and he's out there slinging his lightsaber and I thought he was so hot. And, you know, I didn't really necessarily have like sexual desires or feelings, but I was just really drawn to it. You know, I was really just attractive, and it wasn't like super sexual, but I was still attracted to it. So that happened, I would say, when I was around like 8 years old. And that was like my first like memory of like feeling attracted towards a man, or feeling attraction in general. So I would say, like, for me, like, yeah, like, you could be a young kid, you could be 7, 8 years old, and you'll know more attractive. I remember being very curious too as a child. Like when I was like really little with my friends and stuff, we would sometimes like change in front of each other, or even just get naked for fun. Like, you know how kids are, sometimes they just are crazy.
Yeah.
And I remember just still being drawn to that. Again, nothing was sexual. I wasn't like perverted.
No,
at any sense,
at that age, you don't know what sexual is. It's just kind of right. Just do things. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just like it because you like it. So for me, I would say very young, like 7, 6, 7, 8 years old is when you start to notice it.
I would say the same thing for me. I remember my mom, there was an incident when I was like 6 years old or something. I was at the park and there was just like a little toddler girl running around naked, and I had never seen a vagina before. So I literally screamed. I was like, "Mom, where is her penis?" And I like freaked out over it. I would say there wasn't like any times that I like hardcore crush on a guy when I was younger, mainly because I was very protected as a kid. My mom literally, like, she would not let me watch anything that was over G rating until I was like 12.
Oh wow.
So I didn't get exposed to pop culture until I was like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
So once I started to get exposed to pop culture, I was a little bit of a Swiftie. I was a little bit of a Taylor Swift fan. I listened to 1989. I listened to 22. I know all the songs on those albums, but I would say that going into my middle school days, I was actually so focused on schoolwork at that time that I literally gave zero thought to sexuality, or even like I just didn't think about it because I was so focused on my life then. Like, my parents had gotten divorced. I had like 2 to 3 hours of homework a night because I was going to this real hard school. And so I didn't have time to think about it or to ponder about it. So I would say that I knew about it subconsciously, but I didn't really approach it until I was in a mentally stable place for me, which is about last year, which is when I came out, January 2nd. I still remember the day,
January
so.
2nd.
But I would say that I knew, like I fully, like I accepted myself by the time I was like 16 and a half. It took me a while there. The journey's different for everybody, that's, I feel like today, nowadays with social media, it's made it a lot easier for people to come out and for people to accept themselves simply because there's so many people to look up to. There's so many people that, like, because of social media and its platform, now everybody has a voice, and that's a really good thing. But yeah, I didn't really accept myself until I was like 16 and a half. Some people,
16.
yeah, it took me a while there.
Okay, well, yeah, that's fair. And for me, it was even different. So again, I was having sexual or attraction to guys at like 8 years old, but I didn't even come out till I was 22. So like you said, it is different for everyone. It is a different journey.
Oh, I think what I would do when I was younger would be like, damn, that guy's attractive. I don't want to deal with this right now. I'm just gonna push this to the side until later. That's literally what I would do when I was younger. I wasn't homophobic per se, but I was not for being gay because my mom was not. She my mom is a very strong Christian, and I love and support her to this day. And because and she like now we've resolved most of our problems. We're on good terms now, but back then she was super anti-gay. I remember one time. We were in the car driving home from school, and she and gay marriage had just been passed. Gay marriage had just been legalized, and she looked at me. She was like, "God, this country, what's this country coming to?" And I was just like, "Yeah." Like I got a comment on one of my videos yesterday. Some guy was like, "You don't experience homophobia because you're masculine." And I was just sitting there like, "Well, guys, I guess this comment now took away the years of pain that my mom caused me." But yes, thank you, man. But
Oh my God.
yeah,
It's
can't do much.
again, the internet. Like, just stop. Just stop. If you're gonna be negative, don't go on the internet. Like, seriously.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous to think that someone can't experience homophobia because they're masculine.
And I give people the benefit of the doubt. When people write those hate comments, they're probably in a bad place. They're probably bored. They had to get some energy out. And you know what? I can get over it. I've learned. I've like since we last talked, I've slowly acclimated to getting hate comments. It's something that you have to be used to. As a creator, I think you know this too. You've been reacting to hate comments too with shots and stuff. I've been seeing you. I've liked every video, but I found something really interesting is that 99% of the comments and like the followers, the people that follow you, they all support you. But if you respond to those hate comments, then they're gonna be like, "Oh, what? Luke's getting hate now? What's going on?" Whoa, whoa. And then you kind of build it up yourself. So I've learned to just kind of just let it be, just hands off. If people are gonna hate, I'm not even gonna bother responding because you can't change people's minds anyways. Sometimes, sometimes people they just don't want. They're not in that mindset where they want to be changed. So,
Yeah, totally. That's an important thing to bring up, is it that for, especially for, I know I get a lot of comments and DMs from people saying like, how do I make my parents not homophobic? And you said, just as you said, they need to be in a mindset to change. So to anyone who's approaching that question of how do I make my parents, that's the wrong way to approach it. You can't make your, as shitty as that is, and I empathize with having parents that are homophobic, you can't make them do anything. You have to educate them and be reasonable with them and show them love and hope that they will want to change and accept and open up to accepting, gay people or LGBT people. It's really, there's so many things. We try to force a lot of change onto people, and that's anything from dealing with a homophobic person or a toxic person to dealing with friends. I know I've had to cut off friends before because they didn't want to change and evolve. A friend, one of my best friends from college, we were great friends from freshman year to senior year of college, and in the last semester of senior year, he was still acting like a toddler, like a freshman year idiot, and we had to cut him off, my friend group, because he's still in school right now, a sixth year. He's still trying to get his degree 6 years later because he just couldn't mature and evolve with the group. And we tried
Change
for the
is something
longest
that
time.
needs to be voluntary.
Yes. That was the point, is that we tried for the longest time to get him to evolve and change, but he never wanted to. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I have a few stories like that as well, you know, with friends who just didn't want to change, you know, like, and that's okay. You know, sometimes it's good to let people go. You know, sometimes your story has been, you know, written with these people, your story's done with these people. And it's okay to let people go and move on. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that I have to remind myself sometimes too, because I've, you know, recently coming out of high school, I've lost like most of my friends, you know, like a lot of them just aren't talking to me or to anybody in general now. And they're all moving out to college. So it's kind of like, you know, now that Corona's kind of messed everything up, like people just aren't even bothering to reconnect anymore. And that's okay. You know, I had my story with them. They had my story with me, you know, but there's sometimes you just can't do anything about it.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's a fact of life.
That is one thing. If you are, you know, graduating high school, there's going to be a lot of people you're not going to see again.
Yeah.
Even people who you think you might see again, you probably won't see them.
You won't.
And that's okay.
I lost one of my best friends. I think I told you about this the last live stream. He forced, like, when I went to go sleep over at his house, you know, he forced me to sleep on top of the blankets between us.
Yeah.
And that was one of my best friends at the time. You know, I obviously cut him off. I didn't give him a reason why, just to see if he would even bother to put in the effort to contact me again. He never did. Mm-hmm. And if anything, that's good that I cut him off then. Why should I have somebody in my life that is not putting as much effort as I am? You know, like that's my view. That's my view on it. So.
Yeah. What did he do again? He knew you were because you were gay. He like made you sleep. Not, he didn't let you sleep in the normal place that you usually go.
Yeah. So him and his best friend. I used to be best friends with like, you know, two other straight guys, and him and the other straight guy, they were close. They were tight knit. You know, they were more gay than gay guys. You know how straight guys act sometimes.
Yeah.
Slap each other's, you know, asses and everything. but with me, he was both of us, or no, not the other friend. The other friend that I had, we had different issues, but he was never homophobic to me. But him, he would always tread lightly around me. You know, I always found it weird. And then when I slept over at his house, I didn't think about it at the time until 2 months later. That it took me 2 months to face it, because the guy I was dating at the time, he was like, "Oh, Luke, it doesn't matter. It's okay. If somebody does that, it's okay." I was like, "No. The tiny things are what matter. The tiny things are what make sure that we have rights in the future. We have to fight for the tiny things, because that's what makes the difference at the end of the day, you know?"
Mm-hmm.
But I cut him off, and that was that, man. It's people come and go. Sometimes people are there to teach you lessons. You know, they're not meant to be there for your entire life, but.
I think dealing with understanding that cutting off people is okay. And a lot of times, and sometimes necessary, is a big thing that a lot of younger people need to hear. Maybe they're in this live stream, but I get a lot of DMs about people with it. Hey, I have this toxic friend. Hey, I have this friend that keeps dead naming me. Hey, you know, I have this friend that says this. It's like, well, you have to cut him off. And I know that's hard for a lot of people, but it's the ultimate reality, the sad reality.
My recommendation to those people would be, you know, before I cut off this friend, I did confront him. Not about the homophobia thing, just to see if you wanted to be friends in general. You didn't, you know, that's my advice to those people who are watching this or listening to this, is that if you have a friend who you're just on the fence about, confront them. And if they acknowledge their wrongdoing and you acknowledge your wrongdoing and they're willing to change, then that's somebody you want to keep in your life. But if they're not, and they're bringing you down, it's not worth your time to keep somebody who is going to bring you down, when you should be, you know, surrounding yourself with people who bring you up and make you feel good.
Absolutely. And who make you a better person as well. You should be surrounding yourself with people who promote you and who want you to do better and hope that you do better and encourage you, instead of dragging you down with them.
Exactly.
Whatever that looks like. So I'm going to pull up another question.
Can I make one more point here? You should not drop somebody because of a stupid mistake, because sometimes people, we're all human. We make mistakes. We make mistakes. Sometimes people are stupid. You shouldn't drop people just because they make one mistake. It should be a snowball effect. That's why you break up. You break up with a friend or something. It's because of a snowball, not because of one event, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and exactly. I know last time cancel culture was a huge topic of our conversation. And so, like you said, don't lose a friend, don't cancel a friend over one instance.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, have you heard about this pride flag issue in the UK?
Pride flag issue? No, I haven't. Educate me, please.
So what I think, so I'm not fully educated on it, but I think that there's like the National Health Organization or whatever from the UK has created this flag, you know, given this pandemic and everything, and they basically stole the pride flag. And so I believe that there's people upset at this UK health organization because they're stealing the pride flag. But I'm not British, so I don't know.
I mean, if I'm going to be honest, that just seems like people are just trying to find something to be upset about.
Yeah.
Like that's my opinion on it. Like people are going to plagiarize and steal from you your entire life. Like people are going to, that's what people do. That's what I would argue that gay culture, like, low-key makes pop culture. Like we start what turns into pop culture, and it gets stolen from us, low-key. That's what happens. But you know, what can we do? What can you do about it? You know.
So I just looked it up, and I'm not sure how to share it on the screen, but it's basically a rainbow flag with the words NHS like in the middle of it, which NHS I believe stands for National Health something. Anyway, and so there's like a petition calling for people to change the flag. But here's, okay, so from the little that I know about this flag issue, here's my thing.
Yeah,
they're not going to steal it from us because we own it and we can continue to own it. Just because they're using it too doesn't mean that it's instantly gone from us. We just have to work it better, right? Like we just have to continue to use it, continue to be loud, continue to be proud, and they're not going to take anything from us. Okay, wait. I'm getting a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know too much info about it, so I can't really like say that I have a strong opinion.
But, yeah.
I mean, from what Amy just typed, I don't know if like, it's very hard to give an opinion about something that I'm not knowledgeable on, simply because then I just come off like if I make a statement, then I come off as an educated. That's why I don't that's why I only, and whenever I make my opinions, I always make it about something that I know so I can argue it. But
yeah,
I don't know too much about this, but from what she's saying, I can't really support that, you know.
She says there's homophobes putting pride flags in their window saying go NHS, but if the child was gay, they would kick them out. Okay, so the issue seems to be that homophobic people are supporting this health organization, but they're homophobic, so they shouldn't be able to have the rainbow flag. I'm not super educated on this matter and on all the details of what's going on, but I just think it goes back to, you know, we are in control of our own destiny. We can't control what other people do or don't do. So just continue to fly the rainbow flag and be proud. This is ours. This means pride to us. This means pride to most of the world. So
we can't control what people do to us, but we can control how we react to those situations.
So, yes. I had a boss once that gave me very good advice. He said, the only things you can control are your actions and your reactions. Nothing else in life you can control. You can't control what your parents say to you when you do something. You can't control what your friends say to you when you fuck up. Like, you can't control anything. The only thing you control is what you do and then how you react to certain things. And I think that's I try to remember that often, because a lot of times something happens and we want to get mad. We want to freak out. We want to say, hey, they can't do that. It's like, well, we can't control their actions. We can only control how we react to things and how we feel. How do I submit a question? Says Joel Blank. Joel, just type it in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just if you have a question or a topic that you want to be discussed, just type it up in here.
Yeah. Were there any other interesting talking points in that Instagram?
There was a few. A lot of them are just things that I'm not sure if we can
talk about.
Well.
Oh.
No, it's more about like being trans, but neither of us are trans.
I know a lot about trans. I can talk about trans. I'm a strong supporter of trans.
Okay. I mean, I'm a supporter too. But yeah. Let's see. Okay. Well, this might be good because you have a homophobic mom, or you did. I know you put things up. How can I live as a trans female male with transphobic parents?
I would say that it's hard. It's hard to live with parents who are transphobic, homophobic, period. It's a very hard process. Mm-hmm. And I would say, depending on your situation, that coming out, you know, if you're not safe, if it's not safe for you to come out, then don't do it. You know, we can't exactly have pride if everybody's dead. You know, you have to make smart decisions. And living with your parents when they're homophobic or when they're transphobic, sometimes you have to make compromises to make sure that you are able to stay financially stable or go to college. And, you know, my advice to you would be to try and judge how transphobic they are. And if you are already out, if you're already out to them and they're still transphobic, then my advice to you would be to save up enough money and get out of there. I feel like the thing that a lot of kids nowadays struggle with, even like, you know, older kids, like in their, like millennials and Gen Z, is that we are still financially dependent on our parents until we are like 25, 26. Mm. And, you know, when you're gay or when you're trans and your parents are not supportive of you, the reality is that you're going to have to abide by their rules, or else you're going to have to make your own way in life. Like, that's the truth of it. So you have a hard choice. You either go with your parents, or you say, you know what, fuck it. This is my life. I'm doing what I want, and I'm going to live my life my way. And if you guys love and support me, then love and support me. If you don't, then I'm sorry. I don't want you in my life. You know, like that's those are the two situations you have to pick. Mm. But keep in mind that parents who are transphobic and homophobic, you know, most of them, a high majority of them tend to begin to change and begin to accept their child, because they realize that their child, you know, it's their child. Like, I'm not a parent, so I can't speak for parents, but from what my dad tells me, like, Luke, I could never, regardless if I was homophobic or not, like, even my mom, she said, like, I will never stop loving you, Luke. Mm. Never. You know, like, that's a thing that I feel like parents sometimes they act irrationally out of love, because they don't know how to react. They feel like my mom personally, she feel like she failed as a parent when she found out that I was gay. And obviously that's changed, but it takes a lot of time for that. And like, people who are coming out, this is for anybody who's trans, gay, bi, you know, whatever you are. It takes time. It takes time. It takes a lot of patience. Patience is really key to coming out, I would argue. You have to be patient with your parents. It takes a lot for them to understand something like that, especially when they were raised in a society that calls it, you know, a sin, calls it wrong. And while we're raised in a totally different society that calls it, I mean, obviously there's still people that think that it's wrong, but the majority of our generation is totally okay with it. You know, that's totally different than what our parents were raised in. So it's a complicated situation, but I would say, depending, it's a very, like, you know, base to base, like, you know, like, type thing, where
case to case scenario.
Case to case. Case to case. Yeah. Is what I was looking for. Yeah.
I agree. I agree totally. And I think that as you said, Luke, that patience is a big factor of it. And what I would suggest, if you are scared of coming out to your parents, to one, of course, make sure you're financially safe. Make sure you're not going to be cut off, or you're kicked out of your house, or physically beaten. And then two, understand that it might take some time for them to accept you. And what does that look like? That means you tell your truth, you come out, you be honest with them. You show them love, and then you leave it and you walk away and you say, I am gay, I am trans, I am bi. Thank you for understanding. Good night.
And on top of that, like, I think that this is also super important. If you're in a homophobic home, you need to have a go bag. You need to have a go bag. You need to have some sort of escape plan in case something does go wrong, because something could go wrong. You know, it's I feel like, it's not it, people like act like it's bad to prepare for the worst situation. It's not. You should be prepared for that. You need to be mentally prepared. You need to be prepared physically as well. You need to prepare yourself for the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
In that situation, obviously not in life, but like, you know, sometimes it's good to be prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely be prepared for the worst case or the best case scenario. Be prepared. I know that when I came out, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't great. I was on my own in college. I was in my last semester of college. So when I came out to my family, college was already paid for. I didn't have much to worry about in terms of losing my financial security or my livelihood. But my mom, she told me later down the road, she told me that she went on antidepressants for 4 months after I came out. And then how does that make me feel? Like, because now I feel responsible for, you know, her doing and her medication.
But you see, that's not your fault. That was her reaction to you coming out. She could have handled it a healthier way. You know, that's my opinion. My mom also handled it super badly. My dad laughed about it. My dad didn't care. My dad didn't care. But my mom was like, she had like a whole thing over it. She had a whole mental breakdown. You know, it was terrible. I didn't talk about being gay with her.
Yeah.
Until like a month ago or two. Like, I came out to her a year ago, but we didn't talk about it for a while there. And you know, like, parents just take their own time with things. And my mom, she finally like understood that, like, you know, some things are just out of your control and you have to accept your kid for who they are. Like my mom, I remember 2 years ago, while I was still in the process of coming out, this is something for you closeted kids too. This is something that you should do. I tested my parents. I was like, oh, I would bring up like something in the news about a gay people. I was like, oh mom, what do you think about gay people? What was your interaction? I was like, oh, I love them. They're the most fun people on earth. On earth. I love hanging around them. And I was like, oh, that's a good sign. No. You gotta judge. Because sometimes like people will be super, super, super supportive of gay people. But if it's their own son, it's different. I don't know. It's very weird. It's a very weird dynamic. You know this too, right?
Yeah. I mean, what happens with parents, and this is so common, this is like just the God honest truth, is that parents create their version of your life in your head. So what my mom had done is she created this version of me that was going to grow up, graduate college, and get married to a girl and have a family and give her grandchildren by the time she was 60 years old. That's not what I want, though. That's not my life. That's not, even though that was her vision, that's not what I wanted. So when I came out, that shattered her vision, and that made her very upset because what she wanted was not going to happen. Now, that sounds very selfish, and it is to an extent, but we have to empathize with, that's just part of being a parent. Is when you love your kids so much it's just like when you get a boyfriend or girlfriend and you envision this wonderful life, you start thinking about the marriage or what, like, you know, when you go crazy over someone that you're dating, and then it turns out that they're a piece of shit. Like, it shatters this false reality that you've created. And so as sad as that is, that's ultimately your fault for creating that reality. So that's ultimately your parents' fault for creating this reality of what they thought you would be.
Exactly. So, my dad always kept an open mind. My dad was always like, you know what, look at your life. You do what you want in your life. My mom, she had this plan. She had this perfect family image plan because she comes from, like, I also have to give my mom the benefit of the doubt here too. She comes from a very Catholic family and they immigrated here from Honduras. So of course she's going to have struggles with it. And hold on, I don't know if you saw the comments. Somebody said, so you're saying a person should run away from the place they started being abused / mentally hurting them. Their parents do it to their kids, just asking. And I would like to say, if you are in a place where you think that you cannot survive, you know, for any longer than like, if you think that you cannot survive, get out of that situation. Regardless if you're gay or not, like this should be a universal thing. If you feel like your life is compromised, if you feel like your mental well-being is compromised, if you feel like you are in trouble of some sort, just get away from, and obviously, you know, that this rationale shouldn't be applied to everything in life because you can't run away from situations. You know, that's not a good way of approaching life, but sometimes the best thing to do is to run away. You know, yeah. I'm not exactly one to advocate running away from your problems, but you can't exactly control your parents' reaction to you coming out, to you being trans. You can't control that. But what you can control is making sure that you are still okay. The only reason I say that, because I know that there are some extremely homophobic people out there, like parents out there, who will literally kill their kid if they come out as gay. Like, it's just a fact. If you live in the Middle East, you know, if you come out as gay, you're probably gonna die. Like, that's a fact that we have to face in the LGBT community, is that we have the most hate crimes. You know, we have the most hate crimes out of any minority right now. Statistics may have changed since I last read it, but that's the truth of it. And we have to be prepared for that. We, as a community, we should not submit. We need to rise up. We need to continue to be strong. We need to continue to be proud of who we are. That is the only way that we will be accepted and have equal rights. And that's what I believe. But
yeah. Absolutely. And if you are in a place that's mentally abusing you, if it's physical abuse, call the cops. If it's mental abuse, as Luke said, try to get out of there. I know you just said that you can't run away. It says I have nowhere to go. That's a different person. But if you do have nowhere to go, try to look for support groups, and you can look for them online. You can look for them at school. You can look for them in your community and make connections with those people. Alphabet Mafia has a Discord channel.
If you are in a situation where your parents are homophobic, but it's not life threatening, just try and become financially independent. That's what I did.
Yeah.
I mean, I may have to sell my books, but I'm still financially independent. I can still move out of my own place right now. I would be 100% stable and okay if I moved out right now. And that's the place that you should be. If you're in a situation where you feel unsafe, just prepare for the worst. Try and save up money for something. Plan for something. You got to plan for the worst eventuality in a situation like that. And that's what I did. And it turned out completely the opposite of what I thought it would. You know, I thought my dad would hate me. I thought my mom would accept me. No, opposites. You know?
And again, financial, get yourself on your feet financially if you can. Work a job. Even if you're 16, go get a job at Wendy's or something. And try to save up and still try to build that community. Because imagine this. Imagine finding four other LGBT friends, people, whatever, you meet online, whether it's in the Alphabet Mafia Discord, whether it's on somewhere else, whether it's just anywhere, you start building this community of friends, and you are all like people who are living in a terrible environment, live with homophobic family members, but you're working this job at Wendy's. Well, you work at the job for Wendy's for a year, you've saved. Now all four of you can go and move to Colorado and like live together and be room. Like, I'm just saying, like, you can escape it and find your happy place and make your own reality, but you have to take control of the driver's seat. You can't sit back and not do anything about it. Again, we can only control our actions and our reactions. So if you are in a bad spot, there's one, try to, as Luke said, work yourself so you are financially able to, and then two, build a community. And those are going to coincide together, and you're going to start living the life that you want to live. You're going to make that reality. You're going to make a life that's a lot better than what you are experiencing.
And I guess something else to add on here too, since I know there's a lot of closeted people watching this chat and people who are still struggling with their sexuality. When I was coming out, I came out on Reddit. I came out on an online community, and actually, you know, quite surprisingly, I actually made a friend off Reddit. He's one of my best friends right now. And he lives an hour and a half away from me. And I know, like, if he needed a place to stay, he has one here. And if I needed a place to stay, I got one over there too. And, you know, just because, like, I feel like a lot of people take online friends for granted. They are real friends. They are real friends. I would argue that sometimes they are more real than the friends that you have in your real life. So you got to take advantage of whatever opportunity comes to you. And I guess for those of you who are interested in the Reddit thing, there's a subreddit called LGBTeens. It's just LGBTeens. And it's literally a community of people between the ages of 12 and I would say 18, 19. And they're all just there to help each other to figure it out. People rant on there all the time about their problems, their love life, their homophobic parents, whatever. If you feel like you need a community, I recommend that one. You know, I had a great experience there. I did a lot of personal growth in that community. So if you're looking for a community where you can find like-minded people and you can find accepting people that, you know, will love you for who you are, then I would really recommend that. You know, I would really recommend just trying to find a community in general, you know, Discord, Reddit, whatever it is.
Absolutely, because ultimately there's so many people. I know you might feel alone right now. You might feel like you're the only person that is experiencing this, and you might feel very lonely, but there's so many people. There's an entire family out there that supports you and that loves you, and that's what our community is, and that's the community we're trying to build. That's a common phrase in the LGBT community, is that we find our own family, or we make our own family. And right. To a lot of people, that's true. If you are in a situation where it's unfortunate that your actual bloodline doesn't accept you, you find your own family and you make your own family.
Family is shown by actions. You know, that's love is action. Love is an action. Love is an action. You know.
Exactly. This this comment says, your thoughts on TikTok and bullying. Joel, do you want to expand on that? And then we'll get back to that. Do you have any specifics? Do you mean like bullying people on TikTok? Or is that something else?
You know, my suggestion is, some of the people watching this video, if you're really looking for a stream of income, and you know, it's Corona season right now, so obviously it's going to be hard to get a job. My recommendation to you would be to hop on the social media train, because there is a lot of money in this industry. You can be a photographer, an editor, you can be whatever you want in this industry. You can literally just be yourself and make money. There is ways. If you really want to, you can get it. You just have to really want it. You have to be willing to eat shit to get your dream. Mm. That's the truth of it. You have to be willing to eat absolute shit. And I mean, that's the, yeah.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to get creative. If you have a lawnmower in your garage, like, seriously, you can go door to door asking people if they want their lawnmower. Like, just get down and dirty. Like, just do something. Just really try to work for it, because it's ultimately going to pay off and put you in a better position. You're going to be happier. You're going to be living the life that you want to be living. It's going to be great. Thoughts on TikTok politics. So I think that it can be a good thing. I think that we need to educate people on certain issues. I think that you know, TikTok is a place. It's a platform, and therefore anything can belong on TikTok. But if you're talking about specifically like the politics of, it can get toxic, just like anything. And TikTok is a place where there's a lot of young minds. And so that's unfortunate when it does get toxic, because you have people like Nick Videos that are saying terrible things and encouraging dead naming trans people. And young kids are reading that or watching that, and they're getting influenced by that. So I don't, you know, I mean, and everyone that knows Alphabet Mafia knows we get a little bit into politics. It's mostly LGBT issues. I think we have to be careful on what we put on TikTok. And the more followers you have, the bigger responsibility you have, because as the Spider-Man mantra goes, great power comes great responsibility, and having a following does have great power.
My opinion on politics is that I think that, you know, you can try and stop it from appearing on any platform, but it will appear, you know, it's everywhere, and it can get very toxic. It, just like you said, it can get very toxic. And personally, I do my best to try and not get political. I'll put my piece, my comments in on drama, but will I comment on politics or Trump or anything like that? No, simply because I personally don't really like it when people, you know, give their opinion on something. And because I need to rephrase that. I don't like it when people give their opinion on something that they're not educated on. Mm. And that's what happens a lot on TikTok, is that people will make these videos about something, and then those people that made the video will be super knowledgeable about the topic, and they'll be able to argue the heck out of it. But then people will blindly follow it. And it just turns into sort of a mob mentality type thing. And I don't know if I can support that. Like, if you're going to be Republican, if you're going to be Democrat, if you're going to be independent, whatever you are, if you're going to make a political opinion on TikTok, you have to know what you're talking about, period. You have to know what you're defending. You have to know why you're defending it. When you release a political opinion out there, you have to know what you're talking about for the viewers, you know, for the viewers. You should do it for the sake of the viewers. You don't want to embarrass yourself. And on top of that, you don't want to be spreading lies out there. Like that's just the truth of it. And I haven't gotten political in such a long time because you can't really tell what's facts and what's not nowadays. I mean, other than LGBT issues, that's the only thing I get political about. Mm-hmm. But like, there's so much, I feel there's so much just sludge in the media now. There's so much garbage that it's just hard to filter out what's really important. Like I don't know if you heard, Costa Rica just legalized gay marriage, and like nobody's talking about it because everybody's focused on all this other stuff, or the fact that last year there was 20 million people starving in on the Arabian Peninsula because of a war that Saudi Arabia was doing, and nobody was talking about it or doing anything. Like the media just cherry picks what they display to their viewers. Mm-hmm. I mean, Africa is still just as bad as it was 10 years ago, but nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of disgusting, you know, to me, to be quite honest, if you think about it, but you can't really do anything about it.
We live in a world where clicks and likes dominate what we put out, you know?
Yeah.
The media only will put out what gets them clicks, and creators will only put out what gets them likes. Which is unfortunate. Because
which is why I changed the way that I put out content. I don't know if you've noticed my change.
I noticed. I like it.
I was trying so hard to fit into this mold, to be this creator who was, you know, politically correct, who didn't want to get hate, you know, not problematic. And I realized that, you know, I am a human being, and these other creators are human beings too. And if I limit myself and try to box myself and try to be somebody that I don't want to be, I am not going to be happy. And you know, I ever since I started, you know, being myself again on my TikTok, I've actually started to have positive numbers for the first time in literally months. Months since my coronavirus video, I've been having negative numbers, partially because I've just been trying to, like, you know, ever since after I got that exposure, I saw I had like a million views on my profile. It just freaked me out. I didn't know
why. Yeah, you had a video that absolutely blew up. The coronavirus, like, will it ever end, or like, are we stuck in it? Yeah, so you actually started losing followers like after that?
Yeah, so I got up to like 160k, and then like it just kind of like steadily, like it just was a very slow increase, and now finally my numbers are back up to like 1,000 a day or 500 a day finally. Yeah. Like after literal months, I haven't gotten those numbers for months because I've been trying so hard to be this other person, and now I've realized like all I got to do is be myself, and whatever content I put out there, people are going to enjoy. People enjoy hearing what I have to say, you know, and it actually feels nice, you know, to know that, and to know that by being myself, I can, you know, I can get people, and it really shows in the following now, you know, like just be yourself and you will get, you be your legitimately honest self, and you will get people that support you.
And I think that goes beyond just talking about being a creator or creating content online. Be yourself, and your friends you'll attract people that you want to be friends with. Like, you'll attract people that would be good for your life if you are yourself. If you fake being someone else, if you put on a mask, like so many of us do, especially in high school, you might make friends with people for a short time. You might date that cute boy for a short time, but it's not going to work out in the end because you were faking it. So just like Luke's talking about, you know, he was creating content that he was faking it through, and that didn't last, and you burn out. Start creating content, start being yourself, whether it's online or in real life, and you're going to attract people that actually want to be with you and want and like you for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You should put out the same energy that you want to receive.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you think of that Corona TikTok? Walk me through that creative process.
So I would like to clarify first, I have my med card. I was a little bit high, and I was scrolling, and I saw the kid who made, I would like to credit, there was this kid who made an original video, and I pretty much took his idea, and I was like, how would I make this, like, what is a really good way to make, like, he didn't have the same exact concept, but he had, like, the concept of where it was just somebody who was self-deluding themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. And I took that. I was like, what is a way to maybe make this blow up? And I was like, coronavirus. So one of my best friends, Jenna, was there while we were recording, and it was like an hour long recording probably because my dad kept messing up lines and everything. My brother did too. But then after I posted it and everything, I was like, I mean, it'll probably get like 100K.
Yeah. No, it was like
3 million. I was not expecting Madison Beer to comment. That kind of blew me away. Like, she commented twice. Like, I'm gonna be honest, I didn't quite, like, I knew Madison Beer existed, but I didn't like truly started like, you know, really following her until she commented on my videos, because she was like, I didn't know that she was into that stuff. I was like, oh wow, okay. So it seems like celebrities like actually into like kind of like cool, like retro-y type, you know, cool skit like stuff. I was like, okay, this is an interesting change. But
yeah,
it freaked me out more than anything. It really freaked me out because I was like, I don't know how am I gonna top this? What am I gonna do? Like, no, it's not about if you can top what you've done or anything. You just got to keep producing, and what will happen is you eventually will. It'll just naturally happen. You'll just naturally grow, and your content will grow with you. That's just like a fact of life.
Yeah, don't put too much pressure on yourself. Otherwise, burnout happens for sure.
Yeah. Like, I burn out. Like, it takes a while for me to burn out, but when I burn out, I burn out.
Yeah. Yeah. not having expectations is one of the greatest things that you can learn in life, to learn to control your expectations. Because if you think like, oh, I'm going to make this video and it's going to go viral and I'm going to get this many followers, and it doesn't happen, you're disappointed. But if you just make this video because you're like, I want to make this video because I want to tell this story and because I enjoy doing it, who cares what happens? And you make it and it blows up, great. If it doesn't do anything, great. Like, you enjoyed the process. You enjoyed doing it.
Exactly.
And so just trying to manage your expectations just in life, like overall. Not about sexuality, but what are your thoughts on binders and safety and stuff?
I have no thoughts on them. I don't know too much. Like, one of my so I used to have a best friend, I'm not gonna name her name because I don't know if she wants to be named in here, but back then she was she and now she is a he, and I would say that if the binder makes you feel more secure in yourself, wear it. You know, whatever makes you feel more secure in yourself, it's your body. It's not mine. I'm not, you know, like, I'm not going to put my body rules on you. It's your body, man. I'm not going to judge you for what you do with your body. And that's the truth. Nobody should judge you for what you do to your body or with your body. If you want to wear a binder, wear a binder.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's my opinion.
Totally. I'm 100% on it. If it makes you happy, if it makes you confident, if it makes you whatever, if it's anything positive, wear it, use it, take it, do it. What are your thoughts on gay baiting on TikTok? Yeah, that's just not cool. I think that it's stupid and it's clout chasing, and I really don't like clout chasers.
Is it bad that I find it ironic? Because then you know what it means? It means that gay culture is starting to become normalized. That's what it means. If the straight guys are starting to act gay,
yeah,
try and seem cool, like
they want a piece of us.
Exactly. And as we found out, like, I feel like most of these gay baiters, I feel like most of them are just not accepted themselves. I'm not saying, I mean, I didn't say, you know, the who's the creator who recently came out? The one who did the April Fool's joke and he got a bunch of hate for it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I really don't follow too much TikTok drama, but okay. I don't.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, this guy came out and he got a bunch of hate for it. And a few days later, or no, like maybe a week later or two, he came out. He wrote an article on Huffington Post or something. And he was actually bi, and he decided to recant that he was bi on his TikTok because he was so scared. Like legitimately, like, I don't know. Sometimes I don't know. Some of these straight boys they may not be as straight as you see. I mean, as James Charles says, you know, some boys slip into his DMs. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
It happens. It happens to me too. Some straight boys will slip into my DMs. Like, it's just
subtlety shows. I mean, so like, so a lot of people, yeah, you can send signals through like subtle ways.
Yeah.
Okay. So have you heard about this bi pan controversy?
No, I haven't. Or maybe I have. Can you?
Yeah, I'll try to talk about it. So I believe, and Naaman Rudel, if you can please correct me in the comments if I'm not explaining it correctly. But I think that bisexual people are mad at pansexual people for making this label of pan, or creating pan, because it invalidates bisexual people, because pan supposedly means that they like you, whether you're transgender male, whether you're a cis male, whether you're a transgender female. And then apparently like bi is excluding of transgender and other terminology. So bi people are upset at pansexual people because it makes bi people feel like they're excluding others, that bi people aren't very inclusive. So the controversy is pansexual even a valid term, or should everyone who considers himself pan just be called bi? I think that's, yeah.
So my friend was I know a little bit about this. Oh yeah, I should probably bring this up. I used to run a gay Discord server. I had 550 members in it. I ran it for a while there, and I ended up deleting it. So like I had to interact with a lot of different people, and obviously a lot of pan people too. And my comment on it is that, you know, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. Just love whoever you want, man. If you really feel like you need to label yourself as pansexual or bisexual or whatever, then go ahead. If you feel like you need to label yourself as gay, go ahead. But I'm not going to be pressed about it because it's so insignificant. You know, like at the end of the day, you're going to love who you love. And if you're bi and you like a trans guy, but you call yourself bi or something, go ahead. But I believe that bi is inclusive of trans. Like, I don't think that by calling yourself bi, you're saying, oh, I won't date trans people. Like, I don't agree with that. I think that meaning is wrong. I don't think that that's what people intended when they came up with the word bi. I think that they meant it just as they swing both for the male sex and the female sex, not the male gender and female, just the sex, like the organ. They can do both. That's what bi means at its thing. And I think, you know, pansexual, it more elaborates on the gender side. You will date somebody who does not fit gender norms. That's what pansexual is arguing. And, you know, the argument for somebody who's bisexual is that, like, you know, I'll still date somebody who's outside of gender norms. I don't really care. Like, that, you know, somebody could argue that. And, you know, to that, like, you know, it's valid. And you know, me not being, you know, bi or pan, maybe I am technically bi because I do like girls, you know, 10%, but would I ever make out with a girl? No, I wouldn't. It's just nothing that I would do.
Yeah.
But it's just an issue that I don't know. Like, I don't know. Both sides have valid points, but I think that I don't know. I can't really give my opinion on that. If I'm going to be honest, like, it's just the valid points.
I think, again, it's hard, and I'm not bi or pan, but I think that it's an issue of, once again, I think people are bored and people want to cause controversy. This is not what we need to focus on, y'all. We need to focus on the issues that are impacting the LGBT community. We need to focus on the injustice and inequality. We don't need to be
fighting amongst
ourselves.
Makes no sense for us to be fighting amongst ourselves over, like, I'm sorry if this comes off as like kind of like condescending, but we should be focusing our energies on trying to make sure that people get equal, like our gay people get equal rights in South America, in Central America, in Africa, in the Middle East. But no, we're focusing on something as small as this. Like,
a label.
Like this is definitely like a first world problem type thing. This is not what people in third world countries are thinking about.
We even need to be focusing on the kids here in America who are growing up in a homophobic family and feel like they need to run away or that feel like they can't come out. Like, so we have bigger problems to worry about. And again, I hope that doesn't come off as like rude or like pushing off the issue, but it's just personally, I want to focus my energy on solving issues that are like literally causing life or death situations or that are literally causing people to take their lives and suicide. And I think
something that I like. I used to be like so into the gay community when I was younger, like so much into it. Like when I was like 2 years ago, I was so into it. And I just realized like, it's not worth arguing about. It really, like, you have to choose your battles. This is not something that I personally think. I think that me putting my effort towards trying to validate other people's lives in other countries is something worth more of my energy arguing than to argue over pansexual and bisexual being valid. They're both valid in their own way. And if, you know, if one's trying to invalidate the other, like, come on, like, it really is not, like,
Yeah.
Just let people be who they want to be. If they want to label themselves as pan, if that makes them feel a little better, a little bit better, or sleep better at night, then go ahead, man. Go ahead. It's your life. It's not mine. Go ahead.
Amen. Love that. So this guy, so Darvan wants to know, how do you two come about acknowledging the privilege you may have? So I acknowledge my privilege by trying to use my platform and use my energy and use my time to speak up on injustices that affect me slightly or affect me not at all. And so, again, as everyone knows, Alphabet Mafia is dedicated to the LGBT community. And I do have the privilege of white skin. I do have the privilege of living in an area where I could probably walk down the street with painted nails, long hair, dressed in drag, and not get beat up. I might get a few looks, but I'm not going to get beat up. So I just acknowledge, I use my privilege to try to make the world better for everyone or for people who might not have that luxury of being able to walk down the street in drag. And so that's where my privilege comes in. And I think it's important to note that my definition of privilege, and I think a lot of people agree with this, is that it's like a ladder. I see privilege as a ladder. And on the top of the ladder, on the very first rung, you have the straight, white, evangelical male. And yes, Christian is a privilege. It's no debate there. Have you ever tried to come out as an atheist to a Christian family? Being Christian is a privilege. It's a wrong. And every wrong that...
I've been on both sides. I know this.
Yeah.
It's a sin.
and then you go down the rung, and then it's like, okay, now you have a straight, or now you have a cis, white, gay male. That's like me. And like you just start going down the rung, and then you might, at the bottom of the privilege ladder, you might have a feminine, black, trans, not very wealthy person. That's on the bottom of the privilege ladder. And so we just have to like recognize where we land and then just try to bring up the people who might be below us. That's how I think that you go about acknowledging privilege. But yeah, Luke, do you have any thoughts on that?
I would say that privilege is something that you must acknowledge, but you should not let it consume your life, and you should not, let's just say that you are somebody who's less privileged. You should not let it like control your life. You need to rise above that. You need to take that position that you're going to be like, you know what? Fuck you, society. I want to be this person. You're not going to fucking hold me back. That's what you have to do. You can't like, you have to fight, you know, like I'm white passing. My mom is not white passing. I'm very lucky to where my dad is half and my mom is full Hispanic. And my mom immigrated here from Honduras and she's not white passing like at all. We'll go to some like white towns and she'll just get the dirtiest looks. And when I tell you that even though I have issues with my mom, I stare every single person down. I'm like, try, do something, do something. But it's more of just like, I have this privilege of being white passing and being gay. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to break every single wall down and I'm going to break every single barrier. And I'm going to make sure that the people that come after me don't even have to worry about those barriers. That's my goal, that being gay should just be like being straight.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever. It's just a fact of life and you move up past it and that's it. You know, I don't think that it should, like, gay culture, yes, be preserved, yes, but it shouldn't be this, you know, big, huge thing. Like at the end of the day, that's our end goal. We just want to be like everybody else. Am I wrong? That's the way I want to be. I want to be treated like everybody else. I want to be able to hold my partner's hand and not have to worry about being beaten up.
Amen.
That's the truth of it.
That's the
truth of it. So my goal in social media and like all this is to provide, to kind of make a statement, to make a message that I can be this person, that I can do these things, that other people can do these things too. And I'm literally going to do my best to help everybody else who is under me try and get up out of, you know, get up on their feet. That's my opinion on privilege, you know?
Yep.
That's what I do.
Are asexuals part of the community or are they straight community? No, I think they're part of the LGBT. I mean, I think for me, LGBT means anything that's not hetero. So yeah, of course, asexuals are in it because they're in it. You would agree, Luke?
Actually, I don't know. I agree that they're in it, but do they face the same stigmatizations that we do? I don't know.
No, I
that's
don't
the
think they
debate. That's
face
the debate. That's the
discrimination.
debate. That's the debate. It's not about if asexuals are in the community, they are, but I don't think that they face the same things that a gay man does, or a gay black man does, or somebody who's trans. Like they do not face the same, because when you walk outside with your partner, like it sometimes, in some places you can't hold your hand, but if you're asexual,
Yeah,
you're just,
I don't
like, I'm
know, and
not
I
trying to
can't speak
invalidate
for.
asexuality at all, but I, like
Right, and I
you're
can't
not,
speak
yeah.
for anyone, but I don't know, like, I don't know anyone or know of any examples of someone like discriminating against an asexual. Like, I don't
Yeah,
understand.
I
Like,
don't know
why would
anybody.
you be mad at like someone that's just like not gonna hook up with
That's
anyone or sleep? Like,
I'm sorry,
what?
I'm just not gonna, like, I've never heard of anybody being discriminated at, who's asexual. If you know of a situation where somebody has, then please go ahead and verbalize that. But I cannot recall from memory, and I have a lot of experience in the gay community, I would like to say at this point, I have not heard of anybody being discriminated for being asexual. If you're asexual, be proud of it. Be proud of it. Be proud of it. Tell people about it. Do whatever you want. You're part of the LGBTQ community, but just like I would say that asexuals who try and, like, I don't know, validate their opinion by saying that they receive the same amount of hate as a gay person, like I don't think that that's the right thing to do, because, like, you don't, like, I know I don't receive the same amount of hate as a trans person or somebody who's gay and black, or is this just the facts. It's just facts of life. That's how society works. So
It kind of goes back to recognizing privilege and
yeah,
just
it goes back to that privilege thing we were talking about earlier.
cool. Does anybody else have any other topics that you'd like us to discuss? I'm looking if I missed anything that was kind of eye-popping.
Yeah.
Someone wants to know, how do you monetize TikTok? Well, for me, I mean, obviously, the clothing and the
The
stickers and things
clothing
like that
brand.
that people can buy, that's one way to monetize it. And I've probably made like $10 doing lives.
Same, same. I mean, I monetize. I monetize my platform through OnlyFans, guys. Because if I'm, I don't know if you guys know how bad it is behind the scenes, but TikTok gives us nothing. TikTok takes more than 50% of each donation that you give us to on live. If you're ever live with a creator, do not donate to them, simply because TikTok takes most of the money. If you're dropping $50 in your creator, the creator's probably seeing 20 of it. And that's before taxes too. So keep that in mind as well. So it's just like it being a creator, it's very it's not a very financially stable lifestyle unless you know how to sell yourself. And like I figured out the easiest way to sell myself, it's through OnlyFans. And I'm okay with doing that. Some people aren't. Some people will judge me for it. That's okay too, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah, there you go. And you're confident in it and you own it and clearly you've done well. So
Yeah.
more power to you.
Exactly.
Screw what the haters think.
Yeah. I've still received zero hate. As of this moment, I would like to state in this podcast, zero hate yet. Zero
That's
hate. I
awesome.
don't that may change, but I don't
Second you said that, someone's gonna like hear that and be like, "Oh, I want to go give him hate."
go give me hate. No, I
Yeah.
haven't received any hate yet. As of yet. As of yet. As of yet. We, you know, that's that it's definitely coming. I'm preparing myself for it. I know something's gonna be leaked eventually. It's just a fact of life at this point. But you know what? You know what? The internet will be blessed to see my cheeks. I
Yeah,
believe.
honestly, when leaks happen, it just boosts people's careers. Like I'm waiting for, I had this guy, I don't give out my Snapchat. Like my Snapchat's like my one thing that's like private, where it's only like my friends like
Yeah.
that are on it, that like people I actually like talk to or want to talk to. And so some guy got my Snapchat. I don't know how. He must have like guessed my username. And he added me. And the first thing he sent was, "I love your TikToks, but also you're hot as fuck. I want you to pound my asshole." And so he ended up sending pictures right after that. And I was like, "How old are you?" And he's like, "22." And I was like, "Okay, whatever." Anyway, we ended up exchanging a few videos. Like I took off my wristband and everything. He wanted to do like a full on like FaceTime, and I was like, "No.
No,
I have I'm
definitely
not showing my
not.
face. I'm not giving you any of that. Like you got me. You found me. You sent pictures, whatever." And then the next day he was gone. Like, it was gray. Like, you know, like when someone like on ads you on Snapchat, it's like gray, or like the message is like, yeah. And so I was like, why did that happen? Like, was he trying to get nudes and then link them or something? Like,
oh,
I was like,
that's so weird.
Like, but if it happens, I won't be mad. I will be proud of whatever comes out of that leak.
Fun fact, never sent nudes before, except for OnlyFans. Never. I don't know. I don't know why or how I just never have. I don't know how. I don't know how I've done it. I'm not going to lie. I don't know how I've done it. I don't know how I've done it. Because there have been some tempting times. There have been some trying tribulations, you know, or where there'll be some very hot men just being like, Luke, I'll just be like, God, it's tempting. It's tempting. I don't know. I'm too pussy for that. I don't know. I'm too pussy for that. Pussy. I'm too pussy.
In quarantine and everything, I am not sure how you got away with not sending nudes, but more power to you.
Bro, I've had the driest quarantine. Same. I've tried, but no, there's nothing. There's nothing. The one guy that I was, you know, kind of interested in on social media, he doesn't even like care that I exist. So I just kind of threw out the bag. I'm like, oh well, I tried, ladies and gentlemen. I tried. You know, I've had my time here. Time to head out.
Is this anyone we want to call out? Are we spilling tea, or is this?
Oh no, personal? We're definitely not calling this individual out. Definitely not, because I'm still talking to this individual. But this individual probably has no idea who he is either, so it's actually, you know, it's really great. I have communication issues that I still need to work through, but you know, it's a vibe. It's a
don't
vibe.
We all don't we all
don't we all
I wish it, sometimes I some my mom said the other day that arranged marriages aren't a bad idea.
I know, low-key.
Yeah,
I was reading about it. Like, most of them end up being successful marriages because you can still divorce an arranged marriage. They end up like, I'm just kind of thinking like, Dad, set me up with somebody. Jesus.
Yeah,
like I can't do this myself anymore. Please.
What if? Okay, $1 billion business idea. What if it was like a matchmaker app type thing, or like a Stitch Fix? You know, so there's Stitch Fix. It's a company. You like tell them like your style, and they send you a box of clothes every month. This isn't an ad. They send you a box of clothes every month, and it's tailored to your style, and you get to try all these new clothes. But what if there's like an app or something where you filled out your type, like what you're interested in, your hobbies, things like that, and they hooked you up with like a partner, like a marriage? Like, what if it was just like an arranged marriage company? $1 billion idea.
I would debate it. I'm not lying. I would debate it at this point. Like, wait. How old are you, Ryan?
24.
Damn, man, you're still single. Come on. You're really not helping me out here, man. You're scaring me.
Yeah. That's just you know, I blew my shot because I didn't come out until I was a college or senior in college. So by that time, that was my like wild year. Like my senior year of college was like I'm not gonna date anybody. I'm just gonna have fun. And then it got me to where I am today, where I'm single. And I made a TikTok the other day where I was like, you know what? I'm just waiting on the first round of divorces, like that 30 to 40 like range, and then I'll swoop in.
And then you'll be set.
Yeah.
I haven't personally, like, I've found that the young gay community here in LA is like non-existent almost. At least where I live. I live in a, like, you've been to where I live. You've been around here. It's a very like upper class area. You know, I'm lucky enough to live here, but it's just like, because we live in this like such, you know, upper class high area that people kind of stay closeted for a while and they just don't come out. Like it's sort of a very like kind of reddish area around here.
Right.
And you know, I mean, it is what it is, but it's very frustrating. Very frustrating when you're trying to find somebody to date. I've like settled on people. When I've come to dating, you know, I've settled on a few people. Some people, you know, like we just weren't meant to be. But at the end of the day, like I never had, you know, like if I had to go back, would I have those experiences again? I don't know personally, because I feel like it's the same lesson taught over and over again that, you know, I'm just settling for somebody, but I don't know.
Yeah, don't settle. But
watch my ex listen to this. Okay. We're not, you know, we're gonna pretend he's not. It's fine.
Yeah, it's okay. I have a question. What do you like? If you want to answer, but what do you charge your OnlyFans? Like, what is it monthly?
I charge $8 monthly, okay. And then I actually send pictures once every few days, and I charge for those pictures as well, and I'll post pictures as well, obviously, because you're paying $8 a month. Like, you got to get something for it. And then on top of that, I also post my YouTube videos there a few days before they're released. So you're getting I would argue, like, I do my best to make sure that you're getting your money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I do my best to make sure, like earlier this month, I was trying to post every day, but I've realized that the best way to post on OnlyFans is to do it once every few days. You know, you don't have to change the prices or anything, but people just like when you put just the right amount of content, just the right amount, just like TikTok, you know, you shouldn't put too much, but just the right amount, because then your followers are still staying engaged, you know, still staying engaged with your page. But obviously you're putting enough out there to where like people want to come back, you know?
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you like oversaturate it, then they feel like they've seen everything and then they unsubscribe.
Exactly.
Did you see Tana Mojo released her OnlyFans? And it was like,
my friend follows her. I hear everything.
Making bank.
She's going to be retired by the time she's 30. People can shit on her all she wants, but she's going to be retired by the time she's 30.
Yeah. Yeah. She can. I don't know. Maybe she'll be the next billionaire like Kylie Jenner, but like she's probably making a million. It was like, what was the math? I don't know. I don't know if they released the numbers, but I think she came out and said that at least 50,000 people subscribed or joined it or whatever. It would just be crazy if we're talking dollars.
No, that's literally insane.
Yeah.
That's literally an insane amount of money. That's over $100,000 a month. If you're charging here, I can do the math right now. If you're charging $5 per person, you have 50,000 people subscribed. All right. That's $250,000 a month. I believe. Maybe I did that math wrong, but like that's what my dad makes in a year. Like that's insane.
People in a month.
Make that money right now. Like
I know.
I'm happy that I've started on this industry. You know, I'm not going to go any further with it. It's just something to
propel me. What do you mean not going further?
Yeah, something to propel me to the next level. You know,
you're talking about OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's something to just propel me to the next level. You know, like that's the reality. But I've decided now I want to pursue acting, and so I'm going to be going to ASU. I'm going to be doing my schoolwork there. And obviously on the side, I'm going to be focusing on acting and just refining my acting skills so that when I finally do graduate, I have a really good portfolio and hopefully a good skill set as well. And I could just, I'll have enough money saved up too, where I can just jump out and move out here. You know, like that's the goal. That's what I'm trying to accomplish. So.
Yeah. What type of actor do you see yourself? Do you have any like role models or any people that you could point to as like, oh, I want to be that type of actor?
I would say, you know, Adam Sandler is definitely an actor because I really people hate on him a lot, but I love how diverse of an actor he is. Like, I don't know if you saw his last movie that he
Uncut Gems. I haven't seen it.
Cut Diamonds or something. It was called Cut or something. One of the best movies I've ever seen. His acting was stellar. The film work on it too, the way it was produced and recorded, it was just so raw and lifelike. I loved it. You know, and then like the fact that he's able to go from that to just total like, you know, like a raunchy comedy, like that's an insane spectrum, and he doesn't get the credit that he deserves, but you know, that's somebody that I look up to. I also look up to Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, who doesn't? The kid got an Oscar when he was below 20. Like, that's insane too. He went for his dream and he got it, but yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So you want to do like drama and comedy type roles, like pretty much anything?
Correct. Yeah. I'm more of like, I'm a person where I've researched a lot of acting, and when you become an actor, acting isn't necessarily you like trying to become a different person. It's more of you channeling a part of yourself and becoming that character, but also putting a part of yourself into that character. That's what I've learned so far in studying acting. And like, I can do that. Like, I feel like I've trained myself to do that in social situations and such, just talking to people, engaging with people and such. You just become like you become a good actor when you're an extrovert. You know, like sometimes there's people that you don't like to hang around. You have to act around them, and that's okay. Like, you know, sometimes right. there's people that you just don't vibe with, and that's okay that you act around. You know, you don't have to be friends with them, but like you can always be friendly. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I acted straight for 22 years, so I want a goddamn Oscar.
Exactly. Exactly. I acted straight for 17 years. I'm surprised I pulled. I could have pulled this up off for much longer. I just decided not to. I could have had my best friend act as my girlfriend, and we would have been chill. We would have been okay. But
golden. have you watched on Netflix? It's a new series out. It's called Hollywood.
I've already finished it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I don't watch too much TV, but literally I started that one and I finished it in like 2 days. Like I just had to.
I love that show. I loved the message behind it. I loved the mm-hmm. ending. I loved the characters. I loved how it was gay, but not like in your face gay. Not flam. Not yeah. like.
But like it was real too. Like Rock Hudson.
It was real. It was raw. It was raw. Yeah. Which is what It was realistic. Mm-hmm. You know, in the 1920s, I could totally see something like that happening. In fact, I did research. One of the characters, the Rock Hudson, guy, he was a real guy.
Yeah, he's real.
They based him off of like a real person. I just found that like so interesting. You know, that there was a gay community back like you know back then, just like that. I mean, I'm not too surprised by it, but like mm-hmm. I was still kind of like, oh, wow, okay.
I was cracking up in like the first few episodes because there's just so much sex, and right. it's the most ridiculous. Like it's what. What do you think of when you think of Hollywood? It's like they held nothing back. They're just like, this is it. Everyone's fucking. Everyone's paying yep. for sex. Everyone's
yep.
snorting coke, smoking yep. cigs inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's Hollywood at its core. You know, that's yeah. what it is. Hollywood is rotten, and you can't hide that. They didn't even bother to try and hide it, which is what I loved. It was just raw.
Yeah, and in the 1940s, that was like it's so cool. Just have it that scenery that. What's the word? Like the way that it was presented yeah. in that style in that time period.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Is there anybody else watching right now? Is there any viewers?
Yeah, we have 11.
Oh, that's awesome. What's up, 11 viewers? They're not nobody's commenting anything, so I was just like,
I know.
Putting on silent, just listening to us. I love it. Okay.
Yeah, well I thank you for listening. The last comment we have was at 3:18. Which was 10 minutes ago, and it says, you both are so pretty.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So what have you decided? What path are you taking? Are you going to continue, like, you know, doing what you told me to when you came and visited a few months ago, or, like?
Yeah, so I'm still figuring it. I'm still reworking it. I'm committed to Alphabet Mafia and its mission. I think that there's a few different directions that it can go, and yes. I'm transitioning more to focusing on media because, hey, I'm still here, Joel. Thanks for being here, Joel. So I've realized through doing this is I think that what I enjoy doing most is doing like these types of live streams and podcasts and talking to people. I was always told I had a radio voice. I was always told I had a radio personality. So I want to kind of shift Alphabet Mafia into being a media brand that, you know, also does sell clothes, but not necessarily calling Alphabet Mafia a clothing brand. So I want to
brand.
Yeah, I want to own the output of information and be the place where people come to be inspired, to be educated, to be informed on anything. You know, like I want Alphabet Mafia to be more of a Washington Post, maybe, than a Nike. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's where I'm taking it. I am planning to move to LA soonish. I don't, like, again, with Corona and everything going on, it's like there's no plan for that. Everything's a mess. Money is tight. Like, just a lot of variables. But LA seems to be the place to be. I am now making new connections out in LA. Like, it's... Yeah. I want to be there. I want to connect with people. And also, I think that Alphabet Mafia could also go in the direction of, I think, producing content in multiple facets, short films and things like that. So maybe taking it in that direction as well.
That's awesome.
I definitely want to take it with this creative side and this content side.
Yeah, you seem to really enjoy this a lot more, I feel like, than just being like sort of behind the scenes, you know?
Yeah.
Personally, I think that at the end of my career, I want to be somebody who's behind the scenes, you know, like I'll have my fun and fame, but like it's not my goal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more of something that like I guess like I just want to have fun, you know, I just want to have fun with it. If I get famous, you know, like whatever, it's whatever, man, it's whatever. I'm just here to have a good time, you know.
Yep.
Here to spread a positive message and have a good time. That's all I'm here for.
Absolutely. have you uploaded anything recently on your YouTube?
Yeah, I got a channel strike for my video. Yeah.
I remember you texting me that. What happened? Like, what was it?
So my video. Do you know who Pink? Do you know who Pink Eye is? You know Filthy Frank.
Filthy Frank, not Pink. Is that the same thing?
Yeah, same thing. And so I reacted to one of his videos called Vomit Cake, which is exactly as the title says. They literally threw up the bake mix and cooked it and then ate the cake and then threw it up again pretty much. So I reacted to that video and the video is still up on YouTube, but YouTube apparently, like, even though I censored out every cuss word, you know, like they still did not like the video and they took it down and gave me a strike. And I was just like, oh, looks like I already have a strike and I haven't even started YouTube yet, ladies and gentlemen, you know.
Wow.
You know, the odds are against me, but then again, when are they not? So
yeah. So wait, the original video is still up, but yours isn't?
Mm-hmm. My video that I made is it's up on OnlyFans. if you guys want to go see it, it's up on OnlyFans. But it's not up anywhere else. And I think that if anything, I'm not upset about it because it happened for a reason. You know, like if anything, this was a learning experience. I now know that YouTube is not the place that I grew up. Like I grew up on YouTube. I'm just like one of those kids who grew up on it. Mm-hmm. And back then it used to be a place where you could express yourself whatever way you want. You could cuss, say motherfucker, whatever the fuck you wanted, you know, 24/7. But now it's turned into this sort of platform that has become really, really, really highly monitored by brands because brands don't want their stuff advertised on bad content, which I totally get. Mm-hmm. So I just have to find a way to work around that and still be able to have fun on the platform, you know, but also make content that is not offensive. I don't know. Just it kind of upset me because that video was not bad. There was, I think what got it suspended, if anything, was the fact that there was vomit in the video.
Yeah.
There was somebody vomiting in the video. I think that's what really, really did it for YouTube. But you know, I'm not too upset about it. You know, it may be another setback, but it's just another thing to overcome.
How important is keeping a YouTube page like PG?
I don't want to keep my YouTube page PG.
Me neither.
I want to be able to be myself uncensored because, I mean, I don't know. I just that's just what I enjoy doing is being myself uncensored, and I'll find a way to do that on YouTube. It'll just take a little bit of mind melding and thinking. Like I already have a few ideas that I've thought about over, and I'm just kind of more of just deciding which way do I want to take my platform right now. You know, now that I spent $170 to edit that video because I I've decided that, you know, I'm gonna take the approach that Mr. Beast. I'm going to take the approach that he takes, which I'm just going to pay everybody to do the work that I don't want to do. I'm going to make it fun for me. I'm going to pay everybody else to do the work that I don't want to do. I'm going to keep it fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it cost me $180 to edit that video, $171 actually, no, not 180, 171. So like, it was a bit of a financial, like, you know, boom, blow. Like I expected that video to stay up and, you know, me like, YouTube for me is more of a long-term investment than a short-term. Like I'm okay with dumping a few thousand dollars in there before I see any money.
Yeah.
But you know, it was, if anything, that hurt a lot more than the YouTube thing. Just the fact that I spent like $170 on an editing, like I made that video look fancy. I made that video look nice, like professional. And then just boom, shut down. I was just like, oh, well, there goes $170 down the drain. Oh, well.
So did you just have like someone that you knew edit it?
Oh no, I basically I know this kid, or not a kid, he's He's in mid-20s men, and I don't know, again, I don't know if he wants his name mentioned in this live stream, so I'm just not going to mention it.
Sure.
And he hooked me up with his cousin, and his cousin is a professional editor, and I loved his editing style. Like, I watched a few of his YouTube videos, and I was like, okay, this is the type of editing that I want in my videos, something that is child-friendly, but still somebody who's an adult can still watch it. You know, it's still entertaining for somebody who is in an older audience. Like, that's what I went with. And there's this one kid who keeps commenting on every single one of my posts, because I told him, I was like, dude, one day I'm going to need an editor, because this editor is going to follow through.
Yeah.
Which is just going to happen one day. Keep commenting on my posts and I'll give you that opportunity. And he keeps doing it every single post. Every day he DMs me, he's like, hey, I want that job, every single day. So I'm giving him that job when it comes to it. But I've like, being a creator has given me opportunities that I didn't know that I had before, because now I can just be like, hey, like, I could just go on my my platform and be like, hey, anybody know an editor? Hey, anybody know a clothing brand maker? Somebody will know somebody.
Right.
I can just be connected by it like that. It's really a privilege to have the following that I do. And, you know, it's a privilege that needs to be taken advantage of to its most. Like, you should not let if you have a privilege, like, don't just let it sit there. You gotta take advantage of it and use it for good, you know? So
agreed. Agreed. So this person says that their cousin is a banker in Los Angeles and she pushes through funding for movies. That's cool. What kind of movies does she do? Do you know of any hits or anything that we would know? So with your channel on YouTube, are you looking to make like comedy videos? Are you looking to tell stories? Are you looking to do like literally like what Mr. Beast does and just give back? Or like what do you know? Or are you still like dating a few ideas?
I'm still debating a few ideas, because okay. I'm like, all of those ideas sound super fun to me and I can do all of them, but I struggle with really trying to find my passion. Like, you know, you've seen my TikTok. Like, I'll sometimes make some really hardcore, like extreme, like TikTok with makeup and like they have a storyline behind it and
yeah.
You know, coronavirus. And sometimes I'll just be like, I'm gay, and I just post
yeah.
it. And so my creative energy, it kind of differs from day to day. Sometimes I'll really want to like invest like 6 hours of effort and time into something. Sometimes I'll just post something and be like, this seems kind of entertaining, kind of funny. I'll post it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of just, I don't know where I want to take my content on YouTube, because I know that on YouTube, in order to really succeed on YouTube, you have to be consistent in the content that you make. You know, people follow you for your, actually, no, I would argue people follow you more for your personality on YouTube. I follow people for their personality. I don't know about you, but when I'm on YouTube and I'm scrolling and I click on a random video, if the guy's a good personality, if he entertains me, I'll follow him, you know, but if he's
yeah,
not,
if it's their energy and I like it, then, well, I guess topic is important too, but
yeah,
YouTube's a weird one. I'm trying to figure that out. Obviously we're watching it here on YouTube. And I do have a few videos I'm writing that go along with Alphabet Mafia, including like, so I'm thinking of doing content that is more long form, but very similar to TikTok. So like on TikTok, I'll talk about how there's more than two genders, but obviously it's in under a minute. So I think I'm just like on my YouTube on here, it will be like a longer form video with more like data, more science, more whatever. Explaining
it. That's what I was thinking of doing too. But my issue is that TikTok for me is more of like a creative outlet. Like, it's something that I do for fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If one of my videos goes big, like whatever. But YouTube is something like, for me, if I'm gonna make a YouTube channel, I want to make something that's like new, you know, like something that, which is why I haven't made a video like yet. And like last week, I've been pondering for so long. Like, I want to make something that is new, something that has never been done before, something that people will automatically be like, damn, I want to watch more of this. And I'm still struggling with ideas right now. It's been a trying week trying to come up with ideas, but you know, I'm still on the creative board, you know, still thinking. So
I'm writing a short on cancel culture, or it's like a Do you know Alfred Hitchcock, like the old director? It's like a Alfred Hitchcock styled horror film or thriller, but it's about like the events leading up to someone being canceled. So like it's like a murder mystery, but it's like being canceled instead of being murdered, if that makes sense.
Oh, I was actually going to make a skit about that too on TikTok.
Really?
I wrote a whole script out and everything for it, and then I just never got to it. I was like,
love that.
But yeah, I think, dude, cancel culture is something that needs to be talked about. Like, it's, I thought it was bad during like the YouTube era and stuff. No, it's like so much worse now. It's like so much worse.
This person says, why don't you go on Instagram Live? Is YouTube Hangouts better than Instagram Live? I don't know. I think for me, so the cool thing of what I like to do on here is that this allows me to record and download the audio. So if I did want to upload it into a podcast format and have people can listen to the audio of it, that's an option. That's why I do everything. That's why I do these lives on here. And also, I guess I do have a bigger following on Instagram, but I just feel like my Instagram is too personal. Like this is where I come to do Alphabet Mafia stuff. My Instagram is more, I guess, yeah, that's my explanation.
I have a private Instagram. I'm smart. I do this thing where I have my public Instagram and then I have my private Instagram for like the really dedicated fans, and I'll just go live stream there whenever I feel like it, because then it gives them like this sort of like uncensored experience, because I censor myself a lot, like on TikTok and on my main Instagram Live. Like, I don't know if you do that. I do that a lot. Like I have to watch myself sometimes, because people, like, they will go crazy if you say something that's even slightly controversial nowadays. And yeah, you know, like in a podcast format, I'm able to explain my opinion. I'm able to be like, wait, no, I didn't mean that.
Right.
But when you're on a live stream, you know, and there's just tons of comments, boom, that comment's out of the way now, and suddenly the topic's irrelevant. And just kind of, it's kind of stressful, you know.
I didn't go live on TikTok for probably 2 months into having my, I was already like well over 100,000 followers before I ever went live. And that was just simply because I had anxiety about being live and like not being able to edit what I said or whatever. Which is a big mistake as a creator. From a creator standpoint, it's a mistake to not go live because you're not connecting with your fans.
I never go live anymore on TikTok simply because I just don't. Is there a way to disable donations on TikTok? Because I just don't want. That's the only reason.
Don't want people to send you money.
I don't want people to donate. Like, I'm good. I'm good on money. I'm stable. Don't give me money. You probably need it more than me. Like, I'm good right now. I got my OnlyFans. I have my stream of income that is stable. But when somebody donates, like they're donating that money to TikTok essentially, and I don't know if I really like the way that TikTok is handling its algorithm right now. You know, the only reason that there's this debate right now between straight and gay TikTok is because of the algorithm. You know, the algorithm has categorized us as gay or straight. You know, that's the reality of it. It has. And I feel like, if anything, it's sort of like quarantined all the gay people, you know, to one thing. So nobody else outside of that community sees our videos.
Right. Yeah, we're stuck. Like, if you're gay, you're stuck in gay TikTok, which is, I would, as a consumer, I would rather be in gay TikTok. But I also, as a creator, I want my content to be pushed out elsewhere. And it's not. And it's actually being suppressed. I know that they suppress it.
A lot.
Yeah, a lot. Roughly how many subscribers do you have to OnlyFans? You don't have to give me like the exact number, but I'm literally just curious.
$150, I believe.
You're making good money then.
Maybe a little bit more than that. Somewhere around there, I believe. I don't check it. Like, I don't check my OnlyFans subscribers every day, so it like kind of fluctuates, but it's around that. And it's pretty consistent, you know, I'm not going to lie. It's a great, it's allowed me to be financially independent. And let me tell you that being financially independent, it's like, it's a freedom that I did not know I had, because now I can just, if I just, like, I'm putting most of the money into savings, but let's just say that I want to buy a second burger at In-N-Out. Like, I can do that now. I don't have to be like, Dad, give me your credit card. And I'll just be like, you know what, Dad, I'm go buy myself.
Right.
Or if I want to treat my friends, I can now treat my friends. If I want to buy my dad a gift, I'm now buying that gift with my money, not his money. You know, like, you know, when you're a kid, you buy your parents gifts with their money, essentially, you know, but now I can be like, hey Dad, I got this with my money. You know, like this was all me. It's kind of, it's freeing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, OnlyFans is so interesting. Because it's not an easy way to make money. I know a lot of time and effort goes into it. But it's like so unique to you. Like it's literally like just you. Like that's why it's called like OnlyFans. Like
I love OnlyFans specifically because I decide what I put out there. I decide what they see of me. Mm-hmm. You know, I decide what I'm comfortable with putting out there. And I don't know if I've talked about this. I still have not shown my
Oh, okay.
I still haven't. It's been 3 months. It's just something that it's not that I'm not comfortable doing it. It's just I just don't want to do it like that. I don't know. I just don't want
to
do it.
Yeah. And there's you don't have to, and you shouldn't feel pressured to if it's not something you don't want to do.
Exactly. And OnlyFans, like the only people who are subscribed to your OnlyFans are your fans. Mm-hmm. And if your fans are upset, like some of the people on there, like they'll get upset sometimes because like I'll get depressed and I'll sometimes it just won't respond for days. You know. Mm-hmm. It's ups and downs for me. Like I've been having a lot of mood swings recently, but they're very patient with me. And you know, whenever I need like somebody to be like, hey Luke, what are you doing? Like they're there. All they're there for is to support you. That's what OnlyFans is. The only reason those people are there is to support you. And if they want to wake it up, like it's all that, man.
I was gonna say, I think some people are there to jerk off, but
oh no, some people are, but some people like half of the subscribers on there, they legitimately message me. They're like, hey, I'm just on here because I love your content. I wanted to like support you some way, and I was just like, thank you.
So is it like Patreon but like more skin?
But more skin. Okay. I was gonna start a Patreon, but I just felt like I wasn't doing it. Like I'm not giving you anything for Patreon. Like you're just don't. I don't know. Like I don't know if I can. I'm not good at accepting gifts. I'm good at giving. I'm not good at accepting stuff. Like I have to be giving you something if you're gonna be giving me money. That's just like a fact of life. Like I have this rule. Like if you know if I ever become TikTok famous and people invite me to go on a stage or something, like no, I'm not doing that unless I have a talent. Unless I somehow learn how to play the guitar and sing, I'm not going up on that stage unless I have something to offer the other person. Like it just feels like a scam if anything at that point. If you're not like that's my opinion on it. You know, some people may disagree with me, but like I think I would be like I'm the person who is more than open to like if I'm like at a mall or something and somebody wants to meet up with me, like I'll do it. I'm not gonna charge money for that, like you know.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, this is so funny. This is I kind of want this to happen, but like I was live in the grocery store yesterday. Yeah. And I was like, what if I ran into it's so weird saying this, but what if I ran into a fan like while I was live in the grocery store, and then I brought them into the live and was like showing them off to the, and like they recognized me. I just thought how cool that would be to see that happen. And I don't know. Do you have any experience getting recognized or something like that happening?
I've only been recognized. Like, okay, so I've been recognized. People have not come up to me. They'll just dead stare me. Mm. Or they'll just like be giggling, be like, oh my God. Or they'll like, I remember this one time a week ago or so, I was at a park near my house, just working out. And I was about to go record a TikTok video on the playground for one of these something. And all these girls like start to come over to the playground. They're all giggling and stuff. I was like, okay, I'm going to go. This is kind of uncomfortable, kind of comfy. So I start walking up. They're like, no, wait, come back. Wait. I was just like, oh God, I'm not dealing with this right now. I'm not. But at Playlist, I got a lot of people that would walk up to me.
Okay,
not a lot. Let me refresh. Not a lot. Like six. I got like six or five people that walked up and asked for pictures, and I was just like, oh, this is. You see, I didn't know I had like at that time I didn't have like too big of a following. Like I only had 100K, I think, at that mm-hmm. point. Now I have like 180, and now I would say that like if you're on gay TikTok, like you've seen my TikToks. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's just like I think that I can say that now.
Yeah. But
before then, like, you know, I didn't have that big, and I was so appreciative. Everybody that walked up to me was super nice, super nice. But I remember going on lives a few times, and people were like, I didn't walk up to you because you just looked so intimidating. I was like, I was like, I'm sorry. I was out. Okay, I'm not gonna lie. I was walking around Playlist. Like, I was one of my friends there that I met. He had a room like at the actual hotel, so we were like going in the pool and stuff. So I was walking through the lobby like shirtless, like in my bathing suit and stuff. So I was like, okay, I can understand why, but I swear I'm not an asshole. I just have no shame. I'll just do whatever I want. I don't really care about other people's opinions. Like, that's just who I am. So.
Yeah, just remaining confident in it, in everything you do. I went on Omegle and I got recognized by a few people, and I actually recorded it, so I actually post it on TikTok because it's like kind of funny, just people's reactions. But this one guy was like, "Are you a YouTuber?" I was like, more so TikTok." And he like, wait, what's your TikTok?" And I was like, "Alpha Mob." He like looked it up. He's like, "Holy shit, no way!" And like started freaking out. I'm
No,
like,
this happened. I
"Damn,
remember one time. Here, this is what you gotta do. You gotta advertise to your profile that be like, hey guys, I'm going on Omegle right now. If you wanna see me go on right now, I
man."
did
Okay.
that at 1 a.m. or was it 12 a.m. on a weekday or a weeknight or something. And a bunch of people were on Omegle. Like there were like two or three people that I met. There's this drag queen that follows me, and I got to meet her. It was epic. I was like, okay. She was in full drag too. I was like, okay,
She
oh
was
boy.
ready.
She was ready. She was like full, like the lashes, the wigs. I was like, damn, it's 12 a.m. What are you doing? But I was like, damn, the commitment. Like it was. I love meeting the people that follow me. I don't know if I like to call them fan.
I hate like thinking of it that way.
Like I hate that word. I don't know. Like followers. I no. Even then, observe. I don't know. Like
Observers.
I can't. No, Kanye was like, don't call them fans or followers. Call them observers. And I was like, is it bad? Like I was kind of like, huh? Like that's. It's not a bad word for it. I don't know what else, like, because fans and followers, I feel like that's condescending. You know, you're going like, you're below me, you're a follower of me. No, you're observing
You're
what
part
I
of
mean,
it. Like
you're a part of the experience. You're observing somebody do their thing. Like that's what it may not be a follower, you know, like, but I don't know.
and like
It's
you helped build it. My thing is like I can't like the first like 1,000 people that followed Alphabet Mafia, like I want to meet them. Like who are they? Where are they? Because like it's crazy to think that like you that something can just build from like nothing to over time to being big.
being big.
And it's
I know.
like
I don't. I don't. I think. Ooh. Yeah. I. So like. I don't know if you did this, but like I know all of my OGs. Like if they join a live stream, I know who they are automatically. I recognize their usernames. I know who they are. But like I feel kind of bad for the new people because they're not getting that me. You know that. Like I feel like I used to be so much more engaged with my community, but now. Like I don't even bother responding to any of my Instagram DMs anymore simply because it's too much. You know, I have too much on my plate. You know, there's I literally right now at this moment, I have nine over 100 unread messages on Snapchat, like over 1,000 unread texts. Like it's insane. And I mean it is my fault that I haven't read them, but it just like once you reach a point, you kind of overload. Like that's my point.
I agree. This is important to talk about is because this past month for me at least has been hard. Like it's actually the first 2 months went great. I was like on top of everything. Everybody was getting a response. And this past month for me has been a little bit hard. Like it's become too much. I get too many DMs, and it's not that I don't want to respond to you. It's not that I don't like you or ignoring you, but like on my own mental health, it's starting to toll. It's like, I'm sorry, like I can't think about this right now. Like I've, you know, there it's a lot. It's a lot when you have hundreds of DMs, especially when those hundreds of DMs are like about bad things. Like, hey, my mom is homophobic and she like does this to me. Like, hey,
I
I
get
don't feel
so many of
comfortable
those
doing this.
DMs now,
Like,
and I can't respond to them, dude.
right. It's
I
like
feel so bad.
I
Hundreds.
almost
I
want to
literally
hire
get hundred. I
someone.
get like 20 a day, and at least at like you know 10 of them are fucking thirsting, you know, whatever. But like the other 10 are like people like genuinely being like, oh my god, I love your content, or oh my god, like I don't know what to do. I'm like, fine, I'm coming. I was like, I don't know how. Like I feel like maybe a great way to like do YouTube would maybe for me to be to interact with those DMs through like YouTube. I don't know. I don't know.
That's why I love the comment feature in TikTok, because it allows me to offer my advice in a most precise and efficient way where I can just talk about it. This person has a question. What's the shelf life of the TikTok platform? I'm just thinking about Vine. It was big and then it's gone. This is an interesting question. Do you want to take this first, Luke? Or...
Sure, I can take it. Okay. I would say that the TikTok platform does not have a long shelf life. And I'm a creator. I acknowledge that, which is why I'm obviously expanding to other platforms. And I think that TikTok will last a while simply because of how diverse of a platform it is. But the moment that they lose the rights on the music is when TikTok will kind of die, or maybe it'll become like Vine. I don't know. TikTok is such a, it's such a diverse platform. It's like the new Instagram, because the content, you know, it's so much, it supports this sort of like ADHD type, you know, actions or notions where you just keep swiping. That I get stuck on that app for like hours at a time, and I don't even mean to sometimes. So the longevity of TikTok, I think, you know, like as a creator, I'm preparing for the worst. I don't know if you are, Ryan, but I am. I'm preparing that, you know, eventually it will get shut down. It will die. But at the same time, you should also, like, I'm also doing my best to take advantage of what is given to me now. You know, though it will die, like, you should still try your best to grow on that platform, because those followers can transfer over to another platform and you can monetize them there. So the longevity of TikTok, I don't know. It could die.
I agree completely. I think that it's seeming to look like, it's starting to look like that it's here to stay, because so many big brands and so many big celebrities are coming on the platform. And generally when that happens, that's when that platform is solidified as a thing. That's when, you know, Twitter is solid because celebrities moved there. Instagram, Facebook, they all became solidified. Vine didn't pan out because it never got solid. Brands weren't on there.
Brands weren't on their side.
Yeah, brands weren't spending money there. Celebrities weren't on Vine. Stuff. I am trying to move to YouTube. I'm trying to reproduce content that is fitting to the brand and Alphabet Mafia mission, but more fitting to the YouTube platform. So like longer videos on explaining the difference between genders, things like that, doing these types of conversations and podcasts. So it's the best place right now to grow and to build an audience. But if you are trying to be a creator, you need to start thinking about transferring them to YouTube and Instagram, because these are more solid platforms that actually, you know, are here to stay for sure. So
I think that TikTok, as long as TikTok manages to keep, like, I think that TikTok, the way that it brands itself is very well. Like it has, from the outside to brands, it is a very friendly platform for ads. Very friendly. But if TikTok somehow loses that edge, then that's when TikTok would be in trouble. If celebrities start leaving the platform, that is when it's in trouble. But I think that right now, I think that TikTok is like the most engaged app right now. I don't know, maybe I'm totally wrong, and that's totally a statistic that I pulled out of my ass. But from what I'm seeing, like, you know, celebrities are totally on it. I mean, look at Madison Beer is the most active that I've seen her ever on TikTok. I'm seeing her comments everywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing more of her videos than I've ever seen. Jason Derulo, you know, he's a TikTok creator. He is a TikTok creator. Yeah. I would say he's a creator now. If he does not go to playlist next year, I would be kind of surprised. He's a creator on, he has fans on TikTok. He does. I've liked him now more because of TikTok. You know, same with some of the rappers on TikTok.
Tyga.
Tyga. You know, he's a great TikToker as well. Yeah, everybody's doing it. So now, or even some of the actors, the guy that plays the guy who acts in Stranger Things.
Oh yeah, Noah Schnapp.
Yeah, Noah Schnapp. He's a TikToker too. He's on TikTok 24/7.
I love that guy.
On videos that have 7,000 likes, I'm just like, okay, you're on TikTok is more than me. Like, shoot, man. Okay. But it really just depends on how TikTok needs to make sure that the toxicity levels on that app do not get too high, because I feel like the tensions have definitely risen recently. Like every single cult following that's made, or joke, or like the fairy comments, or the whole gay straight TikTok. Like, it originally starts as a joke, and then I feel like it kind of gets worse and worse, and like it gets out of hand.
It gets too far. I've seen some of those fairy comments that are like super racist, or encouraging people to kill themselves or something like that. And it's just
like as, I don't know about you as a creator, like, even though they're fairy comments, even though I know that they're a joke, like, it still, it still bothers me. I'm just like, bruh, like when I was first getting them, because I didn't really like, not when I was first getting them. It was more when I was receiving a little bit of hate, like a few weeks back. And the fairy comments, they were just not it. They were not fun. Like, you know, like normally the fairy comments are like, oh, you're so cute, but take away the UT or so, you know, and make a little phrase or something, or like, but now it just seems like they're just kind of insulting people. They're using the fairy comments as an excuse to insult people. That's what it seems like it's turned into.
It's no longer a joke, but it's actually a hater using it to hate.
Yeah. Has anybody commented or anything?
That was a recent one. The other one is, do you think there's a TikTok addiction, especially for children? I would say for sure. I mean, I think you can get addicted to anything. And, you know, there's definitely an opportunity to be addicted to TikTok if you're a minor, just because it is so engaging. It's so easy to watch a 10-second video and then scroll to the next one. I mean, adults are addicted, so children definitely can be addicted.
I would say that. Children will get addicted to anything and everything. And I think that when I become a parent, I am going to do my best to enable my child and make sure my child is, you know, obviously tech smart, tech savvy. But I think that, you know, I may not have liked, going back to how my mom raised me, you know, I may not have liked in the moment the way that she raised me, but I can say right now that my upbringing has definitely made me the person that I am. And the fact that I wasn't on the internet at a young age, I feel like that really helped my development. I was able to figure myself out to some small degree before being exposed to all these different opinions. Because my parents, like, they both of them never really pushed opinions on me. You know, they just kind of let me figure myself out. You know, obviously my mom would intervene a few times, you know, like, no, you're not allowed to watch this or that, but like, it was mainly me just like, you know, she was giving my dad too was giving us time to figure ourselves out. And like, I don't know, it's a very dangerous game, because I have a friend who I've been friends with this family for like the last 10 years, and I got to watch his little sister grow up on the internet. And when I say that, she is totally different. Like, she's 8 years old, 9 years old now, and she's cussing. She's saying some vulgar words. She's watching YouTubers that like I would watch, and I'm just like, you're watching this stuff? she's watching some like vile, like some of the kid videos on YouTube. I don't know if you've ever gone down that hole on YouTube. Have you ever gone down that hole?
Not really. Some of the kid videos?
Some of the kid videos are terrifying, man. I don't understand what they're like. There's gore in it, but it's not like exactly gore. It's very weird. The realm of child YouTube is so weird. it's even weirder than the surface level content. I don't know, but it's just like, it's a very dangerous game, letting your kid have the internet when they're young. That's my opinion on it. It's a dangerous game.
You got to be careful. You got to be careful with everything that's going on and everything that they can be exposed to, because there's bad people out there, and there's going to be bad content out there and things that aren't good for their mind.
Like, the internet is a tool, and I think that you need to know how to use that tool before you should be given that tool. You know, just like everything, you know, like drugs are a tool. You should know how to use that tool before you take drugs. A phone is a tool. Everything is a tool. You just need to learn how to use it in the right way.
A car is a tool. You gotta learn how to drive.
Exactly.
Luke, we just talked for two hours.
2 hours.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting that. That was good. That time flew by.
Yeah, it did. We had some good conversations there, I'm not gonna lie.
It was good. I hope everyone listening got some value out of those conversations.
Yeah.
I want to thank everybody for listening, and I want to thank Luke for coming on and doing this.
Thank you so much for inviting me and having me again, man. It's always a pleasure. You know, I love doing these podcasts with you. Seriously, they're always
absolutely. Thank you all so much for listening. You are all so beautiful and amazing. Make sure to check us out at www.thealphabetmafia.com. You can read our blogs there. You can support our brand. Get a sticker. Get yourself a sticker. That really helps us. It raises brand awareness. You put it on your water bottle. You put it on your laptop. It becomes more of a common thing seen around town. If you want to be featured on our YouTube show where I answer your DMs and emails regarding, you know, your situation you're in or needing advice, you can email us at info@thealphabetmafia.com. Again, that's info@thealphabetmafia.com. Just put in the headline LGBTQ+advice, something like that, and I will try and read it and then use it on the show. Of course, if you need serious help, you can visit thetrevorproject.org or you can give them a call at 1-866-488-7386. If you are in need of serious help, please reach out to those people immediately. They will be more than happy to help in a tremendous way. Thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you have a beautiful morning, evening, whatever it is. Good night.